This podcast details true crime cases. It contains adult themes and may contain descriptions of violence. It is not intended for children. Listener discretion is advised.
Thank you for joining me for today's episode of Once Upon a Crime. In the animal kingdom, there is a pecking order. Smaller, weaker, or more vulnerable animals become prey for those who are stronger, and in turn, those animals prey on the next most vulnerable down the line. For example, predatory birds like hawks or eagles will prey on snakes for food. The snake, in turn, will prey on mice. This is the natural order of things to ensure the survival of each species. Unfortunately, in the human species, predators also abound for reasons not explained by survival instincts. The reasons some humans become predatory are varied and complex, but like in the animal kingdom, human predators target those more vulnerable. In the last chapter of the series, Manipulated to Murder, I'll share a story about a predator who hid behind a false identity to manipulate young and impressionable teens to commit the senseless murder of a vulnerable young woman. Darren Schillmiller had a problematic history, but his deviant behavior had gone mostly unchallenged in his rural Indiana town until it was discovered how he orchestrated a murder to fulfill his dark fantasies. This is Chapter 3 of Manipulated to Murder, Darren Schillmiller. On June 2, 2010, 20-year-old Cynthia Rose Cece Hoffman was excited to be going on an outing with her friends. She had the day off from her restaurant job and had been invited to go on a hike to Thunderbird Falls in Chugach State Park, about a 30-minute drive from her home in Anchorage, Alaska. 18-year-old Denali Bremer, who Cece considered her best friend, had made the invitation. They planned to spend a beautiful late spring day hiking through a birch forest that hugged the edge of a canyon before reaching the picturesque Thunderbird Waterfall. Cece told her father, Timothy Hoffman, how excited she was to spend the day with her friend. She said goodbye to him before bounding out of the house to meet the girl her father knew by her nickname, Angel. It was the last time he'd see his daughter alive. Cece Hoffman was born on October 8, 1999, in Anchorage, Alaska. She grew up in a large family and was surrounded by siblings, cousins, aunts, and uncles. Cece's family describes her as a kind-hearted girl with a sweet spirit. She had a lot of people who loved her, her father Tim stated. She just wanted to hang out, and she just wanted to be happy. Cece had to work twice as hard in everything she did, and always did so with a cheerful attitude. She was challenged with a learning disability and was diagnosed with high-functioning autism as a child. It just took her longer to learn things, Tim Hoffman says. Even when she was required to change schools for a better chance at completing her education, Cece didn't complain. She cheerfully worked through her assignments with extra help from tutors to earn her high school diploma. She graduated from Robert Service High School in Anchorage in 2018. After graduation, Cece entered Anchorage School District's ACT program. The program provided additional support, education, and resources for adult students ages 18 to 21 in the areas of communication skills, vocational training, and independent living skills. Cece was hardworking and independent, and it was important to her to earn her own living. She worked in local restaurants and also helped out at her father's business, Hoffman Handyman and Repair. She enjoyed working alongside her dad, measuring windows, mixing concrete, and any other tasks she was assigned. Calling his daughter Daddy's right hand, Tim Hoffman said Cece was, quote, better than half the workers I'd hired out on the road. She would do anything to make me happy. Cece and Denali Bremer met in high school and became best friends. Cece would ask her dad to hang out with Bremer or sometimes to sleep over at her house. He knew his daughter really liked the girl, but Tim Hoffman said he never felt very comfortable around her. It was something he couldn't quite put his finger on, he admits. Bremer was 2 years younger than Cece, but the girls had many of the same interests and ran with the same peer group. Because of the developmental delays Cece experienced, she was a few years behind in maturity level than others her age, and was more compatible with kids a little younger than herself. In contrast, Bremer's life experiences far surpassed her chronological age. Born on August 9, 2000, Denali Dakota Sky Bremer was the third of five daughters raised in a violent and chaotic home. Bremer and her siblings suffered abuse and neglect by her mother and a series of their mother's live-in boyfriends. All of the children were removed from their mother's care at one time or another. Bremer's mother lost permanent custody of her children when, tragically, one of her boyfriends was charged with killing her youngest child, who was only 2 months old. The remaining girls were placed for adoption and raised in more stable homes, but the scars remain from the trauma they experienced in early childhood. Perhaps this contributed to Bremer becoming easily duped by a stranger, but it doesn't explain why she would be willing to participate in a cold-blooded murder. Denali Bremer met a man online who introduced himself as Tyler. He said he lived in Kansas. He sent her photos of a tall 25-year-old athletically built blonde man. Tyler from Kansas didn't exist. Bremer was communicating with 20-year-old Darren Schillmiller from Indiana. She would not learn his real identity for several months, and after she'd agreed to be his partner in crime. Schillmiller and Bremer began messaging each other frequently. As Tyler, Schillmiller convinced the gullible teen that he was a very wealthy man. He said he'd received millions as a lottery winner. His texts and DMs with Bremer quickly turned graphically sexual. This didn't bother Bremer, who believed she and Tyler were soulmates, were in love, and were destined to have a glorious future together. When his increasingly explicit suggestions to the teen were not rejected out of hand, Schillmiller began sharing some even darker sexual fantasies with her. To his delight, she urged him on and even joined in on these discussions. Darren Mitchell Schillmiller was born on June 3, 1998, in New Salisbury, Indiana, a rural farming area located near the Kentucky border. Schillmiller was described as an introverted, awkward teen who struggled in school and was sometimes the target of bullies. He lived with an older relative in a single-story brick home on the outskirts of town and had few friends. As he entered his teen years, Schillmiller became obsessed with sex and attempted to act out on these urges in inappropriate ways. One 13-year-old classmate said that Schillmiller, 2 years her senior, relentlessly asked her to send him photos of herself wearing a bikini. Several young mothers in the town of 600 later reported that he'd asked them for photos of their children. Of course, these bizarre requests were refused, but no one reported him, saying that they thought Schillmiller was slow and just didn't understand what he was asking was inappropriate. After graduating from North Harrison High School in 2017, Schillmiller spent more time on the internet. He created numerous fake online profiles, attempting to meet women and strike up friendships. Just before meeting Denali Bremer online, he started another relationship over the internet with a woman using a different alias. One day, a few weeks into the courtship, he told her that he had a problem. "I want to tell someone, but I don't know how," he confessed. The woman had an infant daughter. Schillmiller asked her to send photos of her daughter while her diaper was being changed. The woman, distressed by this strange request, blocked Schillmiller and didn't interact with him again. The child pornography? He definitely had a problem there, one acquaintance of Schillmiller's later reported. Schillmiller and Denali Bremer never met in person, and she continued to believe he was Tyler from Kansas. He confessed his sexual fetishes to Bremer and then began spinning tales of his dark fantasies, fantasies that included rape and murder. After a few months of communicating with Bremer online, Schillmiller convinced the teen to help him fulfill the fantasy of creating a snuff film. Snuff films are illegal videos that depict graphic scenes of violence, rape, and murder. Shill Miller had become obsessed with locating and viewing legitimate snuff films. Thankfully, many of these disturbing videos are faked. Shill Miller wanted to create a real snuff film for his enjoyment, and also in hopes of selling it for profit, he told Bremer. Bremer believed Shill Miller's claim that he had access to millions of dollars. Now he told her that if she helped him, he'd pay her $9 million for a video of a woman being raped and murdered. She agreed to help him and found three other teens willing to help her carry out Shill Miller's instructions. Bremer recruited 16-year-old Caden McIntosh, 19-year-old Caleb Leland, and two other teens to help. They were under 15 years of age, so their names have not been made public. It was agreed that the five of them would share the $9 million Shill Miller promised them. Shill Miller orchestrated the plot from almost 4,000 miles away. He wouldn't take part in the murder, nor did he suggest a victim. It was left to Denali Bremer to work out the details. Denali decided on her best friend, Cece Hoffman. Hey guys, this is Esther, host of Once Upon a Crime. I've got an exciting opportunity that I'm so psyched to share with you. How would you like to travel the world with me? My second love after true crime is seeing the world. Now, I've been given the opportunity to host trips to destinations around the world and bring you, my listeners and friends of the show, along with me. But I need your help. I need your input to plan these trips. Where would you like to go? What kind of activities would you like to enjoy? Would you like to visit a city like New York, London, or Mexico City and check out the local entertainment, culture, and nightlife? Or would you prefer a tropical getaway like Bali or the Caribbean for laid-back sightseeing and beach days? Or anything in between? How about crossing off that trip to Turkey or Indonesia or Italy off your bucket list? Click on the link in the show notes to complete a short 2-minute survey and tell me what kind of travel you're most interested in. And I'll keep you informed about upcoming trips as soon as they're confirmed. We'll plan trips around your interests and budget, and we'll travel together as a small group. There's safety in numbers too, so single men and women are encouraged. Or bring your significant other or best friends along. Either way, it will be a blast. Click on the survey link right away. The sooner we get your responses, the sooner we'll be on the road together to new adventures. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to travel with you. Can you believe we are just a few short weeks away from CrimeCon 2024? Well, I can't wait to meet you all in Nashville from May 31st to June 2nd for the world's best true crime event. CrimeCon is an immersive weekend-long experience that takes you front row to hear about the latest investigations and teachings about cutting-edge scientific techniques. You'll also get sneak peeks into the hottest binge-worthy true crime shows and documentaries and rub elbows with celebrities in the true crime world. If you're a follower of true crime, you will not want to miss it. Mark your calendars for May 31st to June 2nd and secure your tickets today. Bring along your best partners in true crime and make sure to come and meet me on Podcast Row in Nashville at CrimeCon 2024. Grab your discount using my promo code ONCE. It really helps out the show and gives you a 10% savings off your standard badge for CrimeCon. A win-win. I can't wait to see you. Go to crimecon.com for tickets and information, or to our website, truecrimepodcast.com, and click on upcoming events, and I'll see you there. Tricked into believing she was in a relationship with a wealthy young man from Kansas, Denali Bremer agreed to murder her best friend for money and to please her online suitor. She enlisted four other teens in the plot. On the morning of Monday, June 2, 2019, Bremer arrived to pick up Cece Hoffman for the planned hike to Thunderbird Falls. 19-year-old Caleb Leland provided the car. Bremer was accompanied by her friend, 16-year-old Caden McIntosh. The three teens drove about half an hour to reach the entrance of Chugach State Park. Once there, they veered off the main road and along a path that bordered the Eklutna River to reach the waterfall. The car stopped at a clearing, and Cece, Bremer, and McIntosh got out. After walking for a few minutes, Denali told her friend that they were going to play a game. She told her to hold out her hands. Suspecting nothing, Cece complied. Her friend wrapped duct tape around them. Bremer and McIntosh then bound her feet. McIntosh took out a gun and pointed it at the stunned teen. Before she could protest, Bremer wrapped the duct tape around her head, covering her mouth. While Bremer recorded video on her cell phone, McIntosh stood behind Cece and shot her in the head. With the phone still recording, Cece's body was then pushed down the embankment into the Aklutna River. Bremer then shared the video with Schillmiller over Snapchat. McIntosh and Bremer dumped Cece's purse and cell phone before returning home. Bremer sent a text to Cece's father, saying that they dropped her off near her home at Polar Bear Park. Bremer then deleted all the texts between her and Schillmiller from her cell phone. When night fell and Cece still hadn't returned home, her father grew concerned. The Hoffman family had a hard and fast rule. No matter where you are or what you're doing, if Dad calls, you pick up, the Hoffman children all knew. She wasn't answering her phone, Tim Hoffman said, but I kept calling her saying, no matter what, or if you've done anything wrong or anything, Daddy's never mad at you. By 11 p.m., when they hadn't heard from her, Cece's family knew something was wrong. Tim Hoffman called to report her missing, but he was told he'd have to wait 24 hours before police would begin searching for a missing adult. Cece's family began searching for her themselves. 12 hours passed, and Tim Hoffman could wait no longer. He called the police again and insisted they come out to take the report. While waiting for them to arrive, he began receiving texts from Denali Bremer. I hope she is all right, Bremer texted. I hope nothing's happened to her. When police arrived, the first thing Tim Hoffman told them was that Denali Bremer was the last person Cece was seen with. On June 4th, 2 days after Cece Hoffman went missing, police searchers discovered her body on the banks of the Aklutna River. Her friend, Denali Bremer, had claimed she'd been left at the park near her home in Anchorage. The police now knew she'd lied. Bremer was brought in for questioning. 16-year-old Caden McIntosh was also transported to the police station and interviewed in another room. It didn't take long before both confessed to the murder of Cece Hoffman. McIntosh confessed to being the shooter, but at first, Bremer denied she had any knowledge beforehand of what he planned to do. Bremer's cell phone was confiscated, and evidence of her planning and recording the murder was discovered. She and McIntosh were arrested and charged with first-degree murder. The following day, Bremer was re-interviewed by police, who confronted her with additional evidence found on her phone via text messages and social media apps. She now admitted that she'd been solicited by Schillmiller, whom she still believed was Tyler, to commit the murder. Caleb Leland, who also knew in advance about the murder plot, provided the car, and helped dispose of evidence, was next to be arrested. He admitted to knowing about Tyler's offer to pay the millions for committing a murder on video. He said he'd been offered $500,000 for his part in the plot. On June 9th, a week after the murder, investigators in Indiana brought Darren Schillmiller in for questioning. His real identity had been discovered by the detectives, and Bremer was now aware she'd been catfished. The man whom she agreed to kill for was revealed to her as a penniless, baby-faced, slow-witted 21-year-old living in rural Indiana. Schillmiller made a full confession, telling detectives that he and Bremer had discussed killing her friend for 3 weeks before the murder. He also said they planned to kill another person who was not identified, but they'd ultimately abandoned this plan. Schillmiller's phone was searched, and more evidence of crimes plotted by Schillmiller and committed by Bremer were discovered. Schillmiller had also directed Bremer to sexually assault two minors between the ages of 8 and 14. Explicit videos of one of the minors were then sent to Schillmiller. He was additionally charged with child pornography. An indictment for the six individuals complicit in the murder of Cynthia Cece Hoffman was entered by the district attorney on June 14, 2019. The named individuals were Darren Mitchell Schillmiller, Denali Dakota Sky Bremer, Caden Brian McIntosh, Caleb Ellen Russell Leland, Jane Doe, and John Doe. The charges included murder in the first degree, conspiracy to commit murder, solicitation to commit murder in the first degree, and murder in the second degree. In August 2023, Darren Schillmiller, now 25, agreed to plead guilty to one count of solicitation to murder in the first degree. He also pled guilty to one federal charge of conspiracy to produce child pornography. In January 2024, Anchorage Superior Court Judge Andrew Peterson sentenced Schillmiller to 99 years in prison, the maximum sentence that was allowed according to his plea deal. He will have to serve at least 45 years before he becomes eligible for parole. Calling Schillmiller's crime sad and shocking, Judge Peterson said, quote, "This was an intentional, premeditated murder for hire. You plotted with other co-defendants to kill somebody you never met for no reason other than the sheer thrill of controlling others and seeing it done." Denali Bremer pleaded guilty to one count of murder in the first degree. In February 2024, Bremer, now 24, was sentenced. She faced a term of 30 to 99 years in prison. She also received the maximum sentence of 99 years by Judge Peterson. Before her sentencing, the prosecutor stated, quote, "She may not have pulled the trigger, but this would have never happened if it weren't for Denali Bremer." Calling Bremer's crime among the most serious first-degree murder cases that had come before him, Judge Peterson described her conduct as, quote, "cold, calculated, and carried out to a T." He said the video of Cynthia Hoffman's murder was one of the most difficult pieces of evidence I've ever had to witness. The judge conceded that Denali Bremer was a youthful offender, but said, quote, "Youth matters, but you clearly knew what you were doing," adding that Bremer's actions were not some youthful indiscretion. Caleb Leland also pleaded guilty to one count of murder in the second degree. Now 24, Leland's scheduling is sentenced for this summer in June of 2024. Caden McIntosh's case is still pending trial. McIntosh, the teen who pulled the trigger and ended CeCe Hoffman's life, is now 20 years old. Tim Hoffman vows to be in court until all who conspired in his daughter's murder are held responsible. Saying he'll be relieved when all the trials are over, Hoffman says, quote, "All I want is for myself and my daughter to have peace, and to have peace, this has to be done. But my job is to make sure that all involved do time for what they've done." CeCe's family was interviewed about this case and their memories of her on the Dr. Phil Show. I've included a link in the show notes. That will do it for this episode of Once Upon a Crime. We'd love it if you'd follow us on social media. Join our Facebook fan page. Follow Once Upon a Crime on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads for more true crime content and to keep up with all the goings on around here. Grab the links on our webpage, truecrimepodcast.com. See you on the interwebs. Once Upon a Crime is written and produced by me, Esther Sanchez Ludlow. My executive producer is Lorena Garcia. Research for this episode was provided by Emma Pataglia. Until next time, be good to one another.